Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Well, good evening, everybody. I'm so glad that you have tuned in for tonight's show. As always, I'm always excited about my guest.
Natalie, you're always excited about your guests. I like that about you.
I am. But I tell you, I just love talking about the things of God. And when you find someone that loves it just as much as you, then you can't help but love it.
Absolutely. I agree.
And so, yeah.
We've got a good one tonight.
We do have a good one tonight. We have H.R. Sparks out of Perryton, Texas. How are you doing this evening, sir?
I'm doing well. And I'm not Sparks. I'm Sharp.
I tell you what.
That's my pastor.
We're going to see how many times she makes that mistake before the night's up.
Well, that is so funny because the church that you attend, your pastor there is Marlon Sparks.
That's right.
And just prior to the radio show, I was talking to Jim, and I said, he goes to Marlon.
You said you remember that? You remember him? He goes to Marlon's church.
Yeah, he goes to Marlon's church. She's connected with Marlon Sparks.
So she had Marlon on the brain. I give her grace there.
So I guess we'll have to call him next time. So.
Well, that's not a bad one to have on your brain. I tell you, Marlon is wonderful.
He is, and he's another one I get excited about having on the show, too. So we'll definitely have to give him a shout-out within the next couple of weeks, for sure. But anyway, HR, it is so good to have you on tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Everything's wonderful. The Lord's doing great and mighty things, and it just seems like everything's just pointing towards one of the greatest moves that God's ever brought on the face of the earth.
That's right. I agree with that. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. I know that you are gifted in the teachings of the things of God. That's correct?
Yes. The Lord called me to start ministering May of 1974.
Wow.
I've been teaching Bible since then. He called me to pastor a church back in 1982. And took me about 15 years to figure out I wasn't a pastor, I was a teacher. So I moved on, and that's the thing that really lights my fire, is being able to share the word. But not only to share the word, but to see people take the word and run with it. Yeah, you know, I don't want a bunch of hearers. You know, the word says we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. We have a lot of deceived Christians walk around thinking all I got to do is hear a Sunday morning service and I'm okay.
That's
well,
right.
You know, you are okay if you heard that Sunday morning service, but he expects you to take the word of God that's being preached and begin to do it. Win the lost, heal the sick, set the captives free. That's the thing that sets me on fire, is when I see someone that I've taught take that word, lay hands on the sick, or lead someone to the Lord. That is a touchdown for me.
Yes, because that's what we're called to do.
Yes.
To be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Well, just going back, when I just had to bring this up, I had to laugh a little bit because you said he called you in 1974. And I was born in 73. So almost my whole lifetime, you've been doing the things of God. And I just think that's kind of cool.
Hey, don't make me feel any older than I think I am.
Well, that just tells me how wise you are. I mean, the things that you the things that you know and you can share and you can help us with, you've been there. You've done it and you've lived it.
Well, I'm still trying to live it.
That's right.
You know, well, we should never stop.
That's right. Not until we take our last breath.
Yeah, I retired as an eye doctor, but I'll never retire from teaching the word.
And you can never retire from anything of the things of God, I don't think.
No.
How can you?
No, you shouldn't ever retire. You need to refire.
That's exactly it. I like that. We're not going to retire, but we're going to refire.
Absolutely.
So how do we refire?
Well, one thing we've got to realize, you know, we sometimes we pray for revival. Oh, God, send us revival. Maybe if we pray enough and fast enough and get enough people praying, God will finally look down on us and send us revival. No, he's already sent revival. His name was Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He dwells in me. And when I begin to understand, I should be revival going somewhere to happen. Just like I am a salvation going somewhere to happen. I am a healing going somewhere to happen. He dwells in me. He's empowered me with his spirit. And I should be doing the works of Jesus. That's what we're called to do.
Okay. That's right.
See, we're called to be ministers. For many years, we've had it backwards. We call the pastor the minister of the church. He's not. He's the pastor. We're the ministers. The fivefold ministry is given to us to, and the King James says to perfect, but it actually means to equip. So the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, is given to us by Jesus to equip us for works of ministry. And see, we've looked upon the pastor. He does all the praying. He does all the soul winning. He does all this. And we just go in and say, go, pastor. Go, pastor. You're doing a good job. No. If that's what he's doing, he's wrong. He should be training his church to go out and conquer the world for the Lord.
Yes.
So we've got to change our mindset. I'm not just a peon sitting on a pew letting him preach at me. No, I'm someone there that is being fully equipped to go out and do the will of God.
That's right. And you know, it also makes me think about another thing. People think that when it comes time to pray, well, I have to contact the pastor to pray because I can't pray. Or he's the pastor, so when he pray he gets results. And although there are times when we call the pastor and the elder to pray for us, we can pray for our own.
Yes.
Requests.
Most people don't have the idea that they have any holding or standing with the Lord. I've got to find someone that's really close to God.
Yes.
You know, you can't get any closer than him dwelling in you.
Right.
You know,
living in you.
Yeah. I heard a guy one day say, we're going to just bombard the gates of heaven. We're going to get this answer. And I said, why are you knocking on the gates? You're missing the throne by 750 miles. Because if he's in the middle of the New Jerusalem, then it's 15 by 15 by 15. So you're way off. Why do that when he's right under your nose, man?
That's right. And so that's what we need. That's right. We as Christians need to realize who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and the authority that we have in Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not by anything that we've done, but by everything that Jesus did.
Right, right. Yeah, and we have this tendency And a lot of us were trained in it to be humble, you know, be humble. So we think humble is denigrating ourselves and browbeating ourselves and saying, I can't, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody. And you're coming against the child of the Most High God when you say that.
That's right.
You're better than that. He placed his spirit in you. He brought you into the family. You're a child of the Most High God, the creator of the universe. That's who you are. Quit looking down on yourself and start looking inside to where he's at and begin to believe the word of God that tells me I'm his child, tells me I'm righteous, tells me I'm holy, tells me, and this is real controversial, but it says I can't even be touched by sin.
Yeah.
That really blows the mind of a religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And but it's one of the reasons so many people have given up, because they read scriptures like, you know, I'm holy, I'm righteous, and you may feel that for a day or two after you get born again, but then you start noticing you're right back where you were. Nothing's changed. You still got the same bad attitude. You still get angry. You still say things you shouldn't say. And you question, well, I guess I didn't get saved. And that's not true, because we have not been taught the true triune being that we are. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says that we are spirit, soul, and body. In other words, I am a spirit. I will exist for all eternity as a spirit. I can exist in the presence of the Lord, or I can go to hell. It's my choice. That spirit will live for all eternity. But I also have a soul, which is my mind, my will, my emotions, and I live in a body. You could call it your house, or I like to call it your earth suit. You know, you go out to outer space, you got to have a space suit. Well, if you're going to live on earth, you got to have an earth suit.
I like that.
So, you know, we've got to understand that when I'm born again, that's my spirit is what gets born again. My 2/3 of my body, my soul, and my flesh are still a mess. And I have to grow into, in other words, that's on the inside, I have to work it outward to my soul, which is my mind, will, and emotions, and my physical being. You know, most of us are totally led by our soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's our thinking part, our rational part, our rule wheel, where we make decisions.
Our emotions.
And then our body just follows along what our soul says. But our soul should be in subjection to our spirit man. And most of us, the soul is in total control. And what we have to do is that born-again spirit, where Jesus himself, the spirit of the living God, came in as in union with my spirit, and then work that out into my attitudes, my thinking processes, my speaking, and then the way I live. And because, you know, the word says that we're holy, but I don't walk around holy. Well, that's because your soul and your flesh aren't living holy, but your spirit man is holy. That's what goes to be with the Father. My flesh will eventually be a new body. My soul will line up with my spirit. But while we're here, we're to be working out that's in me to the outer man, beginning to live like I am on the inside. You know, you say something wrong and you feel bad about it. Well, what's that? Well, your spirit man's going, that was not right. You shouldn't have done that. You're not lining up with me. You're not lining up with my spirit. You're not lining up with the spirit of God in me. And, you know, the Holy Spirit will remind you. You know, and he never criticizes you. He doesn't say, well, you're just a bad person. He may say, you made a mistake there and you're better than that. Because I'm living in here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I've seen so many Christians, they have this attitude, well, I can't do it. I've tried, and the more I try, the worse it gets, and I just give up. They quit going to church. They quit serving the Lord because they see their outer man misbehaving. Now, my spirit man is not. But the rest of me is. And as I get into the Word and I study the Word and I speak the Word and I learn the Word, it gradually works its way outward to where my attitudes start to change. My speech starts to change. My actions start to change because my spirit man is beginning to take over and line up with the Spirit of the living God that is dwelling on the inside of me.
Amen. That is some good stuff. If we could just get that, because as you're talking, and this is a concept that I know, but I think about that, you know, how many times we beat ourselves up when we do something wrong, and rather than take it as in, you know what, this is God loving on me and showing me, this is an area that maybe I need to work on and correct, but he still loves me enough that he's trying to show me so that I can be the best that I can be. And I think so often we, even knowing that concept that, you know, our spirit is saved and what you're talking about here, it's hard. Because I think we get caught in a performance type mentality.
Yeah. Well, I was raised in a denominational church that seemed like every Sunday we were getting chewed out. Because all the, you know, we were basically a bunch of black-hearted worms, and he was having to beat us into shape. And so we had this attitude that we were losers. There was no good thing in. And like Paul said, there is no good thing in me. But Christ lives in me, you know. And, you know, we run across scriptures like 1 John 3:9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Well, most of us right there say, well, that eliminates me. I can't possibly be saved because I mess up every day. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but my spirit didn't participate in it. Okay? It's born again. It's perfect. It's holy. It's righteous. I have total right standing with the Father. When he looks on me, he sees Jesus. But the outer two-thirds of me is still having to come into line, and we probably will never totally be in line until we actually meet him face to face. That's what the Word says. But I should be trying to allow the Spirit to take over, and you only do that through the Word of God. And for those that aren't hearing the Word of God, you know, they're going to keep messing up on a daily basis. But when we get to the point where I begin to believe the Word, it says, whoever is born of God, and I am, I believed in my heart, I confessed with my mouth, Jesus is my Lord, he's my Savior, I am born again. So if it says I can't commit sin, then something is messed up in my mind, because I'm thinking, well, I just did. I messed up. I lied, or I did something like that. Well, like I said, your spirit man is not touched by it. Your outer two-thirds is, and says goes on to say, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So until you realize you're a triune being, what did really get born again was your spirit, you can't believe that scripture. You've got to know. You have to be taught. You know, and Pastor Marlon has been teaching us on Wednesday nights on this course on spirit, soul, and body. And it'll revolutionize your life. And, of course, there's so many that criticize the grace message. Well, that's just giving you a license to sin. I didn't need a license before I was born again. I sinned on a regular basis because that was my nature. Mm-hmm. I had a sin nature. My spirit man was shapen in iniquity. But once I became born again, I'm no longer a sinner. Even though my outer two-thirds might sin on a regular basis, I'm not a sinner. The Bible calls me saint, not sinner anymore. And a lot of people say, well, that's just giving you a license to sin. No. Why, you know, they'll say, well, why do you even have to repent if you can't be touched by sin? Well, that has to do with our enemy. If we've got unconfessed sin in our life, that is an open door for him to come and wipe us out. I confess what I've done wrong to shut the door in his face. It does not affect my relationship with the Lord. I am a born-again child of the Most High God. Whether I'm blowing it or not, I'm still his child. And so most people don't see that. They think, well, I messed up, so apparently I didn't get what I thought I got. So they give up. Well, you can't do that. There's a lot of born-again believers out there that think they're beyond help because they truly accepted the Lord. But because they looked at their outer man instead of their inner man, they gave up. It's just too hard. I can't do that Christian stuff.
I've heard people say that if you sin, then you're really not saved.
That's not true.
And so, and that's exactly what you're talking about tonight, mm-hmm. is that very thing. As yep. we base our actions on whether or not we're saved.
Right.
And if
see,
you,
what that does is put you back into the law.
Yes.
You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith in him. My works are messed up. My works are terrible at times. Sometimes I line up with the word and sometimes I don't. But it has nothing to do with my born again spirit. And, you know, of course, when we meet him face to face, all of that's going to be changed. But until we do, the thing that is not touched by sin, my spirit man cannot sin. But the rest of me messes up on a regular basis.
So okay.
Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Finish your thought, and then I have a question for you.
Well, I already forgot the thought.
Oh, man. Now you sound like me. So when you think about a Christian's life, obviously the first day you got saved until, let's say, someone that is seasoned in the Word, like, say, since 74, still, so when you think about that as a Christian, does that Christian on day one versus the Christian from 10 years, 12, whatever, you know, because their body hasn't necessarily lined up with their spirit, but do they still have the same benefits, or let me say, the same power as the Christian who has began to be strengthened by the word and renewed by the word?
They have the same benefits, but they probably won't be walking in it. You've got to know what you have.
Yes.
And if you're not in the word, it's not being preached, and you're not developing faith, because faith cometh by hearing, you won't have the faith to walk in the benefits you have. They're all there available for you. But you've got to learn what they are, and you've got to learn how to function in them. It's like if you go in the military, they don't just throw a gun at you and say, okay, we're going to war. No, they first of all teach you how to take the thing apart and clean it and put it back together before you're even allowed to shoot the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then they teach you how to shoot it. Then they teach you how to use other things in the military. You're well trained before you ever go out to war. And see, we've got all of the weapons. We've got every benefit, everything God, because it's already in me. Said there's no good thing that is not ours. He's provided everything for life and godliness. It's all resident within us, but we have to know how to use it. So they have every benefit, but they're not utilizing it.
Yes. And so no matter where a Christian is at in their walk, they still have the same thing. Like you don't have, so they don't have to achieve, I guess that's a question. Are they having to achieve a certain milestone before they can, step into those benefits or, walk in that power?
Well, I would say no, because I know there was evidence of people that got born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost in the same instant, began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Had they ever been taught how to prophesy?
Yes.
No.
No.
No. So that they're all there. So the reason most people don't walk in what they have is because they don't know it. Or they've been shamed by many, many different churches and denominations. They've told them, you can't do anything. You're nothing but a loser. And you'll be good just to get into heaven. And if you get in heaven by the skin of your teeth, that's going to be good. Now, if you're saved, you got it. You're in. Okay? But if you want to do the things that Jesus told us to do, you're going to have to learn not only what they are, you have to learn how to do it. The word says believers will lay hands on the sick. Most people are afraid to touch someone, you know, and plus they say, well, there's no good in thing me, good thing in me. So I can't do that. You know, I used to be afraid to lay hands on the sick. My thought was, what if I kill them? You know, dear God. Oh, I remember the first person I laid hands on, power of God hit her and laid her out on the floor. I really thought I'd killed her. Scared me to death. But she got up with a smile on her face and was healed. I said, oh,
praise God.
Dear God, this stuff really does work. You know, but I was so on fire when I met the Lord, so in love with him. If I read it in the Bible, I'm going, I remember the first time I read 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes you were healed. Then I read where it says, believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And I said, Lord, I got two hands. Give me some sick ones. And yeah. I started laying hands on anything that wasn't moving. I went after it. It took a while before it started functioning in me. But once it did, it just started to flow and it got more powerful. And I still haven't walked in the full power that is resident in me. You know, I've been at this since 74 and I'm still not complete. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I haven't got it all. Man, if Apostle Paul didn't have it all, I certainly don't have it all.
Right.
But we do have to learn what our weapons are. We have the weapons of our warfare, our spirit. Okay. If you don't know who you are, if you don't know the power of the living God dwells within you, you're not going to do these things. You know, who am I to think God would possibly use me? I gossiped yesterday. Man, I had a bad attitude this morning on the way to church. He couldn't possibly use me. Baloney, he will. You know, if he was waiting on for the perfect Christian before somebody started getting healed, we'd all be dying, man. Which the majority of the church is, because they don't believe in all of the Bible.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I really wanted to touch on something that you just said, because you said that when you started laying hands on people, that it took you a while for that to begin to flow.
Mm-hmm.
In you. So will you talk a little bit about that? Because I think oftentimes Christians, like, they learn what they have. They learn what they can do. They learn the power. And when they set out to do the things of God and things may not work or progress like they think it should, then they think it doesn't work.
Well, I always like to use the example of a baby. You know, the first time they walked, was it perfect?
Nope.
No, Matter of fact, they probably took one step and fell on their booty, you know. Mm-hmm. And did we criticize them for it? No. Praise God, they're starting to walk. You know, this is great. This is wonderful. Try it again. You know, and that's the way the Father is. Because we're going to step out. We're going to stumble. We're going to make mistakes. But he wants us to keep trying. And, you know, the more you believe the word, the more you step out and do it, the more it's going to begin to flow. Because, see, we're having to flow out of our spirit into an unbelieving soul and flesh that for all its life has resisted these things. And sometimes we just have to keep at it until it lines up. Mm-hmm. And begins to say, okay, I can see this. If you can get your spirit, your soul, and your body in alignment, you're powerful. But we usually don't get to that point because, first of all, we think we're barely saved. You know, I don't know how many people I've heard themselves call themselves just an old sinner saved by grace. That's not true anymore. You were an old sinner. But once you were saved by grace, you're no longer an old sinner. You're a child of the Most High God. You're a saint, as the Bible calls you. And as you begin to get in the Word and discover not only what Jesus did, but what he provided for us to do and begin to walk in it, it begins to flow greater and greater and greater.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and of course, I'm just going by my personal experience. Yeah, I don't know how many people I laid hands on before someone actually got up off the floor healed. But I was determined, if the word says it, I'm going to do it. And it took me a while to figure out there. A lot of times when someone isn't healed, it's because there's no cooperation on the person being healed.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen so many over the years where I prayed for someone, say up at the front of the church, they came up and prayed for them. And by the time they got back to their seat, they'd already lost their healing because they didn't feel healed. Or maybe they didn't look healed. Maybe the fever was still there. You know, the word of God says believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But healing was present. There were several times where Jesus laid hands on somebody. And it said the self same hour. It doesn't mean that instant, but it happened. He prayed for one man that was blind. And he said, what do you see? Well, I see men as trees walking. Well, he prayed for him again. And, you know, a lot of the responsibility on a healing has to do on the person that you're praying for.
Yes.
You know, matter of fact, I used to get so upset because every Sunday morning I'd get up and I'd preach my sermon to the living room. Man, it was a stem wonder. It was wonderful. Get to church and you preaching along and all of a sudden it just kind of dribbles off the end of the platform. Nothing happened. And I'd go home, just beat myself up. Oh, I just messed up so terribly, Lord. And the Lord spoke to me one day and says, the majority of the anointing on your speaker comes from the people. If they're not hungry, if they're not pulling, it usually is not as effective as it would be.
Hmm.
So the hungrier the audience, the greater the flow, the greater the anointing.
Isn't that what the scripture meant, HR, when it said Jesus could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief?
That goes along with it, yes. Yeah. And we're talking Jesus, the Son of the living God, couldn't do. It doesn't say he didn't. He said he couldn't.
Except he healed a few sick folks or something like that. Yeah.
There was a few. Just a few. Hangnail and cold and things like that. But, I personally find it easier getting somebody healed in Brazil or Mexico or Central America on these places I've been. It's easy getting people healed there because they haven't been taught that God doesn't do that anymore, or that it's ended. They just know that you just preach them the word that if I lay hands on you, that God's going to heal you, and they come up, boom, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
And America has been taught that it doesn't happen anymore, or it's been done away with,
yes,
or you're too bad a sinner to get anything from God. And, you know, there's several groups in America that I've prayed for, and hardly any of them ever got healed. But like I said, go to Brazil and everybody I touched got healed. Go to Guatemala and Costa Rica, everybody I touched got healed. Mexico, everybody I touched got healed. Come home and hardly anybody gets healed. Was there any difference in me or the one doing the praying or in the person being prayed for?
That person. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. It makes me think about a word that came a couple of weeks ago that said that was expectation. The word was expectation. What are you expecting mm-hmm. God to do? What do you expect God can do? God can only work within that expectation.
Yeah.
And that we have to know, like you're saying, exactly, is knowing the word and what.
And see, that's part of the definition of hope. You know, our hope, the biblical hope, is actually stronger than most people's faith, because the definition of biblical hope is the steadfast, confident, joyful expectation that God's word will work for you.
Oh,
that's true
good.
Biblical hope. And, you know, it's confident. I'm going to get it. There's an expectation. You better believe I'm going to get it. And it's joyful. What's it? Why is it joyful? Because I got it.
That's right.
It maybe not have manifested, but I got it because God said it. He promised it to me. I've seen what they've laid hands on me. They've anointed me with oil. They've done everything the word of God says. It's mine. Before you ever see it, you have to walk in the joyful expectation it's going to work.
You know, it makes me think of a story that I heard recently from a message that I was listening to. And they were telling about back in the early 1900s, there was a missionary that wanted to come over to America and pray for people for healing. And mm-hmm. so they got on the boat and they went, however long, 30 to 60 days it takes to get over here,
mm-hmm.
got off the boat. Spent just a little bit of time and turned around and got back on the boat and said, these people are not in the mind, basically couldn't be healed because of where their mindset was at. And so he got
yeah.
back on the boat and went back.
And unfortunately, our pulpits have done it to us.
Mm-hmm.
We've been taught, well, God may or may not. You never know what God's going to do. You know, you just never know. But if you get into the word, you will find out he wants everybody healed. You know, his very nature, his name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that healeth thee. Did Jesus ever turn anybody away?
No.
Well, he tried to turn one lady away because she wasn't a Jew. But her bulldog tenacity wouldn't let go of him. They finally wound up getting the child healed that was not a Jew. He said, hey, look, I'm sent to the household of Israel. But he said, okay, we'll step ahead. We'll go ahead and do this. But, you know, as long as you've got people teaching it doesn't happen anymore, those people will have negative faith. Faith comes by hearing, and negative faith also comes by hearing. In other words, there is no faith for it because they've been taught.
That's right.
And
so watch what you're hearing. Watch what you're listening to.
Absolutely. Yeah, I write for a little magazine, a little Christian magazine. It's a new one. It's only been around a year or so. But I wrote one about be careful where you're hearing and what you're hearing. If you're going to a church that is preaching against what the Word of God says, get out as fast as you can. Because they're teaching lies. If they say God doesn't heal, they're lying.
Do you think do you think that when they teach those things that they are doing it in a way because maybe they've not seen God move like they thought they should see, and so that's how they tell the people, well, if it's in God's will, then it'll happen.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of their way. Yeah, that's their excuse of because maybe they've never seen it.
Yeah. Well, I imagine it started that way, but I do know that there's a difference between born again and being born again with baptized in the Holy Spirit when you're walking in the power that you don't have as a born again believer.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to do these things without the empowering of the Spirit, and there's going to be a lot of failure. So you fail one or two, then your brain goes, well, it must not be for today because I prayed and nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so you develop doctrines on your experience instead of the word. So it's you've got to be careful what you're hearing. You've got to be careful where you're going and what you're being taught. If you're being taught against what the Word of God says, because people will make excuses and say, well, you know, when the last apostle died, all of this quit. No, it didn't. Because the Word tells us that this is going to be happening until that which is perfect comes. And contrary to popular belief, that which is coming is not the New Testament. That is perfect that is coming is the return of the Lord. So until the Lord returns, it is still available and active if you'll act upon it. But you got to believe it. If you're not being taught it, you won't do it.
And here's what you've been saying all along. You have to get into the Word to know what it says, to know if you're being taught what the Word says or not being taught what the Word says.
Well, there's no faith without the Word. Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word. You know, and if you're not hearing the full word of God being preached, you will not have faith for it. You know, the word tells us that he's provided healing. The word said he's provided prosperity. The word has said it's promised us all these different things. But unless you're preached, it's preached properly and with power, it will never happen in your life because you can't have anything without the faith of God. You've got to believe it. If you don't believe it, even though it belongs to you, if you don't believe it, it won't function.
Isn't that the same way as salvation? If you don't believe it, you can't receive it. It's all part of that, and it's all based on whether we believe it or not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And see, everything we receive comes the same way salvation does.
Yes.
You believe it in your heart, confess it with your mouth. That's the basis of everything God's promised us.
Yes, yes.
So I've had people say, well, how do you activate these things in your life? Well, how did you activate salvation? You heard it preached. You believed it. You spoke it. You got it. So I did the same thing with healing. I read the word. I heard the word. I believed it. And I went out and acted upon it. You've got to act on it.
This
if
also,
you're not, go ahead.
This also makes me think about a book that I read, and he was talking about healing somebody, or you know, doing the supernatural. I guess we should say supernatural. It's the same as praying in tongues, because praying in tongues is supernatural, and so,
mm-hmm.
and just as easy as praying in tongues, it is in supernatural. So is the works of
mm-hmm.
the Spirit. And when I heard that, I thought, you know, really, we just believed it, we received it, and we did it. We prayed
mm-hmm.
in tongues and we did it. But that's the same thing. What we're talking about here is those mm-hmm. things that we have in the Spirit.
Yeah. Well, I think as Timothy says, faith without works is dead. In other words, if you're not acting upon what you're being taught, it's dead. It's not going to work.
So if you go to church and you hear a message from your pastor, go home, look at it, and what, Lord, what can I do? How can I put this into practice? And begin to put that into practice into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And allow, and yeah, you may not be doing so well when you first start out, but keep doing it.
Right. Yeah, and the thing is, you've got to hear it and hear it and hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And the tense there is faith cometh by hearing and 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 hearing ab infinitum. Keep hearing, because the more you hear, the greater the faith to function in it.
Yes.
You know, if I'm not hearing about healing, I'm not going to be looking for people to pray for. Or I might pray, well, Father, you know, if you really want to, if you're in a good mood today, maybe you'll heal them. No, the word says if you'll obey what he said, because everything has already been provided. He provided salvation at the cross. And what does the word say? How many times did he go to the cross? Once. How many times to go to the whipping post?
Once.
Okay. So just like salvation from that point on, anybody that would believe it, from the rest of the world to the very end of the world, anybody that would believe that could be saved. Same thing with healing. Same thing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's all been provided. You can't pray, oh God, heal somebody. He already has. He surprised me one day. I was driving over to pray for one of the ladies in our church, and we called her Momo. And I was praying, so, oh, Lord, I just pray that you heal Momo. And he said, no. And, man, I almost stomped on the brake. So what are you talking about? He said, I already have. What did I tell you in my word how to get her healed? Oh, your word says that we should lay hands on her. Is that right? He said, yes. You go lay hands on her. Believe what my word says, and you will see healing. If you beg me and plead me for healing, it'll never happen, because that's not how I told you to get it done. If we do Bible things, Bible ways, we'll get Bible results.
That's right. Well, you know, I'm thinking about the people that are listening tonight, and I wonder how many of them that this has been some information to them that they weren't quite, you know, not, you know, new to them. And so would you be willing to pray for our listeners tonight in regards to the things that we have been talking about tonight, that they receive that?
Okay. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I lift up everyone that's listening. And I thank you right now that revelation knowledge is going to come. Lord, I'm asking that you will lead them to a place where they can hear the uncompromised word of God, the full counsel of God. You will lead them to where they can be hearing on a regular basis, and then help them get into and start studying the word for themselves and begin to believe the word, because faith comes by hearing, and then begin to act upon the word and do what he told us to do. Jesus told us to go into all the world, which basically means as you go through your world, you know, heal the sick, bring salvation, bring deliverance, bring all of these things, because that is our job. We've been called to do it. And Lord, for so many centuries, we've been negligent. We ask that you forgive us of this, and that you'll bring forth that mighty word, that mighty move of God that is literally going to open the eyes of everyone that you have called into to be your child. So, Lord, we thank you for the revelation knowledge. We thank you for the word of God going forth in purity and power. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So, when we decide to get into the word, and the listeners are like, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get in the word, where should they begin? What would you recommend to them? Where would they start reading?
Well, most people recommend John because it teaches you about the love of God, but not only that God is love, but he loves you. You've got to understand, God isn't mad at you. God's madly in love with you.
That's right.
I got that from my pastor. I stole that from Marlon. But, find out, first of all, that you are loved. But then get into the epistles and begin, because that is instructions on how to walk as a Christian, how to walk in power, how to walk in the gifts, how to perform and function within everything that God has given us, and desire earnestly the best gifts. In other words, earnestly desire. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you need to ask for it and get it, because your power comes from that. As a born-again believer, you are indwelled by the Spirit, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're empowered by the Spirit. So, get everything that God has promised you and begin to function in it, and you'll become successful in seeing people saved, healed, delivered, and set free.
Yes. And so we want to encourage you to keep with it. Keep at it. Just keep going.
Amen.
And keep going.
Yeah, I had a guy ask me one time, well, how long do I have to study the Word? And I said, how long do you plan on being on planet Earth?
That's right.
Stay in the Word. Because, that everything's wrapped up in that. Without the Word and not hearing the Word preached, there's no faith.
Well, and this is the deal. We read the Bible and we read through and we read things, and then say a year or two goes around and you go back and you read something else. And it's the living Word that it begins to speak to your life in a different way. It's a constant living Word that is, that you have to continue to stay in.
Yeah, I've read the Bible through cover to cover numerous times, and there's not a time I've gone through it that I didn't see that last time. And I know I read it word for word from cover to cover, but yet there was a thing missing in me. And a lot of times it's because I wasn't ready for it. But as I grew in the Word, he begins to bring greater revelation. And as you grow in that, he gives you greater revelation. You begin to see things differently. And we grow not only in faith, but we grow. We've been given the mind of Christ. But I also have to grow in that. Mm-hmm. And as I study and as I get into the Word, revelation comes. And sometimes you can study a scripture 100 times and he may give you 100 different revelations of just that one word. And if you read through the Bible and think you've accomplished it, all you've done is gotten started.
Right. It's not a one-time read.
No.
No, it's a continuous thing.
Yeah. Isn't that what it means when it says his word is life to all who find it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because every time you read it, it's a new life.
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
I think
everything that we're called to do and be is wrapped up in the Word. And even though at the born-again experience, everything is available to us, without the Word, you're not going to know it. And then second of all, if you do know it, you're not going to know how to function in it. Or you'd be afraid to, or whatever. But, God has provided everything for life and godliness. And, it's up to us to get into the Word, find out what he promised, what he provided through the grace of God, and then function in it. And understand that it's a gift. It's not something you work for, but it is a gift. But as you do more and more, he gives you more and more. Or in other words, the revelation directly from him comes. And when revelation comes, it's kind of like, oh, I never saw it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of the the false doctrines have come because men tried to figure it out in their own brain. You can't do it. You can't figure out the word. And when it comes to revelations, like Peter, when Jesus asked the disciples, who are you? And some of them say, well, you're this prophet, and others say you're this. And Peter jumps up and says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, whoa, you didn't get that from flesh and blood. You got that directly from the Father. No one can figure that out without the Father showing it to them. And it's the way with everything in the Word. As you get into it and study it, it begins to get revelation and more revelation and more revelation. And as you grow in that, you begin to see great and mighty things in your life starting to function and do. Because he told us, the things I do, you will do, and greater. And most people hadn't even got to the point that they even have gotten beyond the born again experience, much less doing the greater works that Jesus said would do.
That's right.
But you won't do it until you get into the Word and start accepting it as my word, a personal word to me from my Father, my Heavenly Father that loves me dearly. He wants me to do these things. So I, with his help, I will do it all.
Amen. That is some good stuff. We're actually about to run out of time here. We're not. We got about a couple more minutes. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just going to give HR an opportunity to tell people where they could come sit under his teaching.
I know. And
because I'm drawn into this already.
Every time I talk to HR, that's how I am. Tell me more.
Tell me some more. So.
And tell us this magazine that you're
writing for.
Yeah, writing for.
It's called The Net, the N-E-T, Net, as in Fishers of Men. And I'll go get a copy of it, and I'll give you the address. It's free. You just call and ask for it.
Well, we like
I'll
free.
I'll send it to you. Free's good.
Especially if it's free. Good is what HR is telling us.
I'm telling you. See why I got so excited, Jim?
I know, Natalie. You're always excited, but... You're never wrong, but we can pick on you anyway.
Yeah, so. Go ahead. Pick on me. It's all right. But,
okay, here's the
information on the magazine. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called themovablechurch.org.
The movable church.
Yeah, and it's all one word.
Yeah, themovablechurch.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I have a blog on that where you can go back and pick up my teachings.
Yeah, and so also you have your magazine, but where else could they come and sit under your teaching?
Well, I go to Victory Family Church in Perryton, sat under one of the most wonderful pastors on the face of the earth, Marlon Sparks. And we have Sunday morning. Then I teach on Sunday night. I'm teaching one of the Karis Bible College courses on how to be a water walker.
Oh,
we just got through with the authority of the believer. Pastor's been teaching on Wednesday nights on spirit, soul, and body. If you like both food and word, come at 5:30 and we have a meal.
Speaking my language.
Amen.
Yeah. And then at 6:30 he teaches to about 7:15. And it's just the pure word of God. So
it's not HR Sparks.
It's sharp.
He's a sharp dressed man.
That's right. It's sharp. So remember, sharp dressed man. That's right.
I've had people, I'd wear a suit or something. They say, man, you're looking sharp. I said, man, it's on my birth certificate.
Amen.
I was that way in my jeans.
That's right. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This is some good stuff, and I just and thank you for giving your time to us.
Okay. Well, Lord bless y'all. It's been a privilege, and I love to talk about the Word. So anytime you need someone to fill in, just give me a ring.
I sure will.
Well, Lord bless you. We love you.
All right.
Bless
Thanks,
you.
HR. We'll talk to you again, brother. You bet.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Just want to remind you, we do have SundayNightLive.org, our website, where you can go back and listen to any of our past episodes that are archived on there. And you also can contact me on there if you would like to do that as well. We would love to hear from you.
And it links back to our Facebook page as well. So, and to Cornerstone Church and the Kingdom Keys Radio Network. So lots of good things on that website. So.
That's right. So thank you for tuning in. Have a good night. We'll see you next week.
Good night. God is on the-